Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And back again, it's Jordan.
Hooray! Thank goodness. I mean, I will admit that as we were hitting record, this was a lot easier when I was just doing interviews. I don't have to come up with a clever, catchy introduction. I can just hit record and take it away. But here we are, back in the saddle again after July. Over and done with, and now we're staring down kind of the barrel of another school year here, but Jordan, it is good to see you back.
Thank you. Thanks for taking me back and not suddenly changing all of our passwords.
I don't even remember what our passwords are.
I tried to actually get in, and I couldn't this past week because they did the whole change over to Spotify thing, so that's been fun. But anywho.
You ever have the times where it's the change your password, change it to something new, and you get all the way through and you start entering in your new password? It's like, nope, can't be your old one.
I have had that a few times. Yeah. Then I came up with a system to alleviate that, and that's worked pretty well.
But
I
John 3:16, John 3:17, John 3:18, John 3:19.
Yeah, I don't know if that's close enough, or if that's too different or too close. I haven't tried that.
I will say, as a word of warning, anybody with any experience in like website design or security will recommend that churches not have that as their password to log into anything. Don't use Bible references. Don't use your names of your church. Don't use your church name backwards. They will say just avoid all of that.
Any Bible reference?
Any Bible reference.
Even like an obscure one from Job talking about majestic snorting of locusts?
I think they were just talking about references, like, not the actual thing. I don't know what you're talking about, and that's
well,
fine.
It was I was just thinking, like, Job 12:7. Does he not leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrible. That's not the right address for that verse, but that verse is in Job. Anywho, was a favorite for a while to write on graduation cards, just to see if anybody would, like, read the verse.
your practice of picking confirmation verses, you just go to the what are those psalms,
imprecatory psalms,
yeah.
Your teeth shatter in your skull.
May the Lord pursue them.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, so here's what you get when you have Jordan back: all sorts of tangents. And
doesn't take us long to derail, but
it does not.
It was nice to have the last month and catch the students' perspectives. I really appreciated it, and I hope that you guys appreciated maybe hearing from one of the reasons why we do what we do, you know, for the students and getting their own perspective on ministry and something like what the Lord is doing in their lives. It's pretty exciting to hear. Right.
But the children love the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't mind the idea of being on a podcast. I don't know if any of them listened to it, but...
Oh, we had some spikes in listeners throughout the week. We see you. Appreciate you if you have returned, even though this is not an episode that you are specifically on. But we are going to talk about especially that last interview that we had last week. If you haven't listened to that... go back, just hit pause and listen to it, because otherwise what we're going to say from here on out is not going to make a ton of sense. But yeah, I think that should be enough time. They probably hit pause, or they didn't. They're still listening. Whatever. We're going to get into this. I was really intrigued. Jordan, you'll notice just a trend of the interviews. They wound up being 2-3, sometimes 4 minutes long or so. And then I sat down with these kids from Ruthford and then Faustin, and they kind of went off. And not kind of, they had quite a bit to say on this question on taking on leadership within the church, specifically on student voting. So as one, as I was editing that, and I didn't have to edit too much, but some louder noises from the room we were in is all I basically cut out. But as you listened to that, Jordan, what were things that stood out to you as I was talking with these students?
One thing that stood out to me was a little bit of an affirmation, which I thought was pretty helpful. Just kind of like a, so I'm not the only one, and I'm not necessarily off base on this. Because the journey into students voting in a congregation is something that I've, both the last two congregations that I've been a part of, the one I'm serving in now and the one previous, I brought that up in conversation. I don't exactly remember what happened in the previous one. I don't think I was as opposed as it was here. But, you know, we've gone through that conversation as a congregation. Like, what does it, what is it required? And this is something, too, I would recommend if you are going to maybe, based off of what you heard last week's episode and this concept of students voting after confirmation, I want to encourage you, do due diligence. Do a quick search to see if there are any boundaries on student voting under the age of 18 in your state, because that may have an impact. So in our state, in Michigan, based off of what I could see, not being like a lawyer or anything, but things that I read, that students in a congregational setting could vote, but not vote on budget or items that impacted budget, like building purchases or things of that nature. So they would still, they'll be able to vote on personnel, like who would be a trustee or a call committee, you know, still have an opportunity to share their perspective. But that's I want to put that out there too. But yeah, so that was one thing that really stood out, that the students might actually be interested in this themselves and see this as a way to be meaningfully connected and involved in the congregation, even to the point of, I remember with a young lady who was talking about like, yeah, I can't prove this, but I'd be interested to see if like, if students were more involved, if that like impacted their attendance and being plugged into a congregation after the fact. Right. And it's like, we've been talking about this for a while about meaningfully handing off ministry, getting them a voice and that tying into their connection to the church and longevity in the church, even the transition from their home congregation to a new congregation. So those were two main things that kind of jumped out to me. But what about you? What did you walk away from those conversations, especially since you actually had them?
Yeah, I'm curious here real quick if I can ask a clarifying question. Where would you start looking, or who would you talk to regarding state regulations on voting? Like, how did you go about finding what Michigan allowed or didn't allow?
I relied on the Google. I just kind of did some searches like Michigan laws on church voting, or, you know, to see if there was. And the one that did come up that talked about that age restriction thing was older. So I don't know, like, I don't have a Michigan penal code book standing on my office desk or anything like that.
Just some light reading.
Yeah, you know. but you know, due diligence in good faith. You know, if you're going to do a look and you don't see anything later on down the road, I don't think that you're going to have your congregation end up getting like a lawsuit for like, hey, they're letting youngsters vote on this thing here and the police come in or anything. But, you know, even if you have someone in your congregation that might be connected to or know someone who is connected to law industry, whether it's a lawyer or something like that, it might be a good person to ask just to use your resources. But I personally referred to Google and trying to see what I could find that way.
No, that's good. Wasn't sure if there was a database or whatnot, or if you went and found a lawyer or somebody like that, if there was somebody at your church. We've got a couple lawyers in our church, so I feel like I could go talk to them. What stood out to me, especially in these conversations, was having students wanting to be involved with the potential calling of a pastor or appointing spiritual leaders over the congregation, especially thinking of youth workers, thinking of pastors, even thinking of deacons, elders, or whoever. Like, these are people who are going to be overseeing not just the voting people, but the people of all ages, especially like considering voting in a youth worker to offer them the job. This is somebody that, you know, more than just the adults have to like and appreciate. Not that it's a popularity contest, but there is, I think, something to be said about having students have a voice in and being involved a little more directly with something like that.
Yeah.
I do also understand there's quite a bit of hesitancy when it comes to offering students a chance to vote, because building a new Sunday school wing sounds pretty awesome. And sometimes building projects could mean a lot of new stuff, a lot of new opportunities. And especially with students not knowing exactly how larger budgets work or operate, this is something that they could be burdened with for the foreseeable future. And maybe not even for the foreseeable future, because students are, I don't want to say they're temporary, but the likelihood of them moving away to go to college is fairly high, especially today, especially if you are in a non-college city, especially since this podcast focuses on especially churches of the smaller capacity. So it's a lot to take on, especially if you have people who don't have the financial wisdom or experience of dealing with mortgages and long-term investments and building projects like that. So I think there's some use to, I think there's some benefit to being able to have discernment, but now you're trying to split hairs, and I realize I'm kind of doing a pro-con thing. So
no, it's a good point, but the counterpoint to that too is that, yeah, if you just let them run loose and give them no information to make a decision on, they probably would be voting for some interesting things. But the bigger picture is I don't picture the students really organizing in such a way and it's like, we're going to hijack this. We're going to take this over. I don't think there's quite enough students for that. You might find that you actually have increased involvement from the congregation as a whole if there's a fear of the students taking over. That's not necessarily a bad thing, having more people involved. And it's also, I would say, this is a prime example of a discipleship opportunity, but also civic opportunity. You're teaching, hey, this is what it means to be an informed voter. I don't think we see that politically much today. We could definitely grow in that area. So who knows? Yeah. I could see a lot of pluses. Could there be potentially messes? Yes. There could be a mess driving my car down the highway. You know, I could get T-boned. That doesn't stop me from the productivity that driving my car allows necessarily. So we want to measure that. And like you said, too, the building project, depending on your state law, like in Michigan, that would be I don't know if non sequitur is the right word. I don't think it is. But essentially a non-issue, because students wouldn't be able to vote on that anyways.
Yeah, when I've had this conversation with certain adults, the idea that generally gets thrown out is the hesitancy to allow that to happen, because students could just be persuaded by their parents or by other adults to vote a certain way. It's like, I know adults where that is the case. You know, well, students aren't necessarily informed. Then let's inform them. You know, let's make sure that everyone is informed, that we know what it is that we're voting for and why we're voting, instead of having, and I realize this is painting with a broad brush, instead of having one or two people sign us up for something, let's have the whole church weigh in on this and see what it is we're moving forward with. I think when there's accusations pointing at students regarding lack of information or being persuaded to vote, I see the same thing happening with adults at different times. Not necessarily where I'm at, but you know, it happens. It happens civically as well. So I think there's something to be said here. I would be really interested to see, and I haven't asked here at our church yet. I believe the voting age is 18, and there's some value in doing that as well. There's also some caution in bringing something up like that. Like, this wasn't an issue until you mentioned it. Why are you mentioning this? Well, I just curious, like, not necessarily pointing in a direction. It could be that you're at a church where they've had that discussion a while ago and maybe it's time to bring it up again, but maybe they are still of the mindset that, no, you know, this is who we are, and this is what we want to try and focus on, and that's going to be enough for us. So,
and maybe if you're going to bring this vision or broach the subject, you could even use last week's episode and just play it. Say like, hey, give a listen. What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
As a way to see, because I think some of it might even just be like hearing from students themselves about the cons of maybe not having that opportunity. The fact that some have, like there was one from, I think it was Ruthford, that allowed their students to vote after confirmation. Mm-hmm. And various different things like that. You know, I thought it was a pretty broad mix there, which was pretty good too. And yes, there's going to be potential consequences. We want to go in with wisdom, recognizing that. But we also want to be prepared to say that maybe we don't need to dismiss it so quickly. Are students a little bit less mentally developed than adults? Yes, that's true. They could use the wisdom of the older people. But do they still have a voice? And are we doing something inconsistent by saying, hey, you're a full member once you're confirmed, but you can't do these member things? So, yeah, things to walk through and think through in your local congregation, because we don't have the answers. We don't know what your congregation is like Daniel was just saying. But,
I think there's an element here that jigsaws well with early July episodes on what do you wish the adults in your congregation knew about you? And a lot of that feedback of the students want to be involved. It's not like they're sitting back like, oh, I guess I'm going to just, okay, whatever. And like, it's not like they're dragging their feet. They want to be more involved than we give them credit for. And I suppose the real focus we're trying to hit on this episode is it wouldn't hurt to start having a conversation. And you may find out as you have that conversation that this isn't something that your church has talked about. There's some hesitancies and you want to move forward with caution, but to allow the opportunity for your church to invest not just ministry wise in the life of your students, but also like in the full life of your church, because the full life of your church is also administration. And to show kids, this is what it means to be a part of the church. We're an organization and we receive money and we want to handle this well. And not even necessarily like passing off the keys, but there's an element of discipleship that's involved here as well. Being good stewards, knowing how to operate, knowing how to compromise and have these discussions. Because eventually they're going to get to a spot where I want to help out and I don't know how to. So I guess I'm just going to drag my feet or not even bother. So yeah, like you said, things to consider.
And I would even say too, this might be something that's worth multiple conversations, not just starting one. You know, we could have sometimes especially if this hasn't been on the radar of the congregation as a whole, you might be in a place where they're like, that's a good idea, let's go. But I would guess there'd probably be enough people who are used to a different way of doing things that there'd be a little bit of hesitancy. And it might just be walking with people and say like, hey, let's hear your concerns. And those are valid. You know, I recognize that those are challenges. And here's why I think that it's worth taking the risk and different things like that. So just throwing that out there. But yeah, again, I was encouraged just to hear people interested in being involved, especially working in a church setting. When you're talking about volunteers, sometimes it can be really hard to find people willing to step up and serve. But I feel like in some ways, this younger generation is breaking that mold a little bit. So I'm hopeful for the future and what that means for the church.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too of something that I was reading in Grow Young. This is a book that came out from the Fuller Youth Institute. If you're familiar with Sticky Faith, this is kind of the, I wouldn't say sequel, but it was a follow-up on the research that they had, focusing on a broad range of churches in different contexts. And I think they actually interviewed a church in Volga, South Dakota. Nice little church, like actually going to a properly small town and talking to a small church and having them be involved in this. And the study was finding that They recommended that congregations focus and invest more into younger generations than any other generation specifically, thinking of age-specific ministries. Not because that younger generations are more important, but because younger generations are able to turn around and invest back into the life of the church for a longer period of time after they've been invested into. So the desire here to see how is it that we can, surprise, surprise, here we come again, how do we really bring home and drive people to Jesus? How do we build their relationship with him, and how do we have them be involved in the life of the greater congregation? Thinking about how the Apostle Paul writes, as he encourages, thinking especially in the book of Titus and Timothy, where he's encouraging both of these young pastors to find younger people to pour into. Is it Titus 2, where he's directing the older women to find younger women to invest into? I believe that's the right reference. It's in Titus somewhere. Titus is not a big book. Read Titus. But the instructions here is to have these older people investing and involving these students in a serious manner for the betterment of the body. And that is what we're trying to get at. And if that means students are allowed to vote, then you know, more power to you. That's not something necessarily that we're prescribing, but it is an idea that you are open to consider.
Yeah, and it could potentially be something that is used as a force of revitalization in your congregational context.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what God could do? But I think that's, yeah, I could probably wrap it up there, huh?
Yeah, that seems like a good spot to me.
So cool. And if you end up doing something down that path, we'd love to hear that story, kind of walk with you on that journey, and pray with you alongside you, whatever that might be. So don't be bashful in reaching out if you are so inclined. We are here for you. And as always, we pray that you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.